situation, hard times and conversation. No one should ever love me like I do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions. No one should ever love me like I do. While I'm on this road, you take my hands. How you really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my very soul. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
Last night, confidence was shaking. My wounds and my past were saying, no, you should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hands. So how you really love who I really am. You away, still you won't let go. You got your roses on my very soul.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
I put you through what you had to see. I'm a train wreck, I'm a mess, you see the best and worst of me. Still I can't imagine that I've earned your trust. And I don't understand where your love comes from.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you. Hey, to be loved by you. To be loved by you. To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Well, thanks, Ben. Well, hey, my name is Randy Wasink, and I'm excited that you're joining us here today on our Thanksgiving Eve service. We call it Elevate, and that opening song is a Need to Breathe song, and I love that song because it's got, well, it's got a great message, but the lyric in the song that I absolutely love reads, somehow you really love who I really am. And as I let that sink in for me, I get this sense of love and acceptance. I sense that God wants a relationship with the real me. Not the polished me or the Sunday best me, but the gut, honest, vulnerable me. And to me, that's really comforting. Because if you're anything like me this year, you've had a few times when my best self sure didn't come through. I found myself at times short-tempered and frustrated with everything going on. And to know that God sees through all of that, and he desires an honest relationship with me, and he values me even when I'm not at my best, well, to me, that's comforting. Well, tonight, you're probably sitting at home and hopefully in something comfortable like your pajamas, tuning in, and you're hoping to find a sense of hope in a world that seems to be chaotic and unpredictable. And that's exactly what we hope to bring to you tonight. Tonight's going to be a night of awesome music and honest stories, and stories from some of my friends who've looked back on this year and are willing to share some of their tensions, some of their vulnerabilities, their fears, and how God stepped in and met them right where they were at. So as we move into this night, I pray that this next song will open a window into your heart. So maybe just sit back for a moment and close your eyes. And the lyrics go, come. They invite you to come and listen to what God has done. And you're going to hear what God has done in the lives of some of the folks you're going to hear from soon. And it's our hope and prayer that you'll identify and that you'll relate and that you'll find hope in what you hear tonight. And then after that song, Shannon Gallagher is going to come up and get us started with some words from one of the great first century pastors named Paul.
My name is Shannon, and tonight we're going to use part of Paul's letter written to a group of Christ followers in the Church of Philippi. A little background. Throughout his long ministry, Paul often suffered greatly. He was repeatedly whipped, beaten with rods, and hunted by assassins. He was imprisoned many times, and once he was even stoned and left for dead. And he didn't always hold up well under these hardships. At times, he felt depressed, even despairing. But Paul knew that life is never truly hopeless, that God is able to rescue us from any trouble. But he was also a human being. He had weaknesses just like us. And the truth is that sometimes knowing and trusting that God's in control just isn't enough to keep us from feeling despair. Even Paul struggled. Even Paul wanted to give up. Even Paul felt abandoned. So Paul's writing this letter from prison, beaten, whipped, incarcerated for being a follower of Christ. And he's writing to a group of people who are also being persecuted for being followers of Jesus. If we're to let the weight of his words really impact us, we need to step into the context in which they were written, because this was Paul's reality. Try to put yourself in his place, in prison, persecuted for your faith, writing to your friends who are also being persecuted for their faith. Now, in that context, hear these words from Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
The waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear the roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. You speak still, say the set my feet upon the sea, till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace, peace, death, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. I'm not gonna be, cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna fear the storm, cause you are greater than its roar. I'm not gonna fear the storm.
August 20 was the day that our world was rocked. Hi, we're Bob and Betty Jo Nienhuis, and we'd like to share a small amount of our journey with you. August 20 was the day that we found out our 41-year-old son-in-law, Scott, had stage 4 colon cancer, which had metastasized to his liver. We knew that our lives would never be the same.
I went through all the normal emotions of that day. We did together. We cried. We had fear. I had anger. The night following the diagnosis, we took our grandkids away so Mom and Dad could have some time together. And I remember sitting out that night talking with God. It went something like this: God, I'm going to add my voice to the voices of millions of people before me and ask you why. Why? Why? I didn't get any answers that night. It did begin a journey, but the answers were long to come.
The asking questions turned into doing, and I'm really good at that. What can I do to alleviate the situation? Is there a wall we could paint? Is there a closet I could clean? Can I come and just sit with the kids? What is it that I can do? And we found out that doing doesn't take away the questions either.
We did all the work that we could do: research, doctors, hospitals. But we recognized in the end that our ultimate hope and help was going to come from God. And we had to surrender this to Him, that it was beyond our control, that there was nothing we could do to fix this. And we had to trust Him for what He was wanting to do, wanting to accomplish, and how this was going to unfold.
And so our questions turned toward thanking God, looking at who God is and thanking Him in the various situations and the things that He would bring to us. And as we started to do that, we would begin to notice God's kisses of mercy and grace in our life. And we could say thank you to the many people that bring meals. Thank you for the people that have mowed Scott and Sarah's lawn. Thank you for the people who have donated money to help them with medical expenses. Thank you to people like yourselves who pray when we feel that we are empty and we have no words to pray. Thank you for God that you are giving us people to support us and to stand with us through this difficulty.
The journey continues. We've said oftentimes that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so we recognize that there are going to be days when we are up and days we are down. But ultimately, our confidence comes not from what we're able to do, but in the one who is walking with us, the one who holds us up when we are weak, the one who encourages us when we are discouraged, the one who gives us hope when we feel helpless. And that's where our trust rests. That's where our hope lies. That's where our confidence is in this journey.
I'm Michelle, and I'm the leader of our local and global Extend programs with a primary focus on education of children. Locally on the west side of Grand Rapids with Sibley Elementary, where families live at or below poverty level. And globally in a small village called El Cacique in the Dominican Republic with Dr. Sylvia. Then 2020, closing of schools, don't need to say anything else about that. But those communities, leaders, teachers said, oh no, what are we gonna do? So I said, how in the heck, Randy and Keystone, are we gonna provide support online education and basic needs for both communities? Parents don't have resources at Sibley, or you know, they have barriers with language, and teachers in El Cacique, they don't even have computers or internet. So that's where it began. I made the calls to partners asking, what can we do? At the same time, facing the reality that our budgets at Keystone were tight and we were furloughing staff. In a FaceTime call with Dr. Sylvia in El Cacique, we started the list. Internet at the school, computers for teachers, tablets for families, printed materials for families to pick up, and most important, food. The feeding program was done. Nobody was allowed at the school. I told Sylvia, I said, I will go to Keystone and I will ask for their help, but I just don't know. We prayed that day together, and Sylvia ended with, Michelle, God has a plan. My call to our Sibley partners was similar. The Families Need Food. The Other Way Pantry has a need 600% higher than a year ago. The kids need in-person teaching, but guess what? They could give it. They would start a program if we could help them. They'd have to hire staff and get tablets. And then Sibley was worried about winter wear and food for the kids. So again, I made no promises. And that's not very fun because I'm a planner and kind of a control freak. I remember when Randy and I were in my office and we had this feeling of, wow, this is too much. It's a lot. But then we thought about how God has been faithful in the past. And combined with Sylvia's faith, we had a piece about asking for so much in the middle of so much uncertainty. And then Keystone came through. It's with so much joy and gratitude that we were able to outfit the school in El Cacique with everything they needed, including food. And then the school is now up, running virtually. Sylvia was provided funds and they delivered food to homes. And for all of the, that we got thousands of pounds of food delivered to the Other Way Ministries Food Bank from all of you. We're providing a winter coat for every child today at Sibley, with mittens and hats as well. I've learned a lot through this season. I had to relinquish control and trust God to take it from there, and He did.
Take my place. Oh, it is amazing.
break. Break into the wild and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Chains will fall, prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 say, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, when I think about gratitude and I think about 2020 and all the crazy things, it actually sort of surprises me how many things there are to be grateful for. I suppose it's easy to get caught up in all the things to not be grateful for. And for many of us, I suppose there's plenty of those. Being on the leadership team here at Keystone, as well as leading all of our creative people and processes, this pandemic has been a unique challenge for me personally. No matter what frustrations or challenges I may have been feeling or experiencing, I had to make sure to be a positive leader. I'm not so sure I got that quite right. Our musicians and tech folks are truly an amazing group of servants. When everything started to change early in the year, I had many of our team having to step away or cancel dates. There was fear and doubt, various concerns and opinions and feelings about what to do, how to do it. And then we went virtual, and I found myself working around the clock trying to figure out how to change a lot of things quickly. Up until then, our services were basically always designed to be a live in-person experience with an online option. And then everything changed just to the opposite. I guess pivot is the popular word. But God showed up in this mess in such powerful ways, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. Not only do we learn how to produce a better online experience, but we learn how to continue to love and support one another from a distance. Those who decided to stay home and those that did not still stayed connected, and we even grew closer together. We did some cool Zoom virtual worship stuff. It's like the sound. Many of the new folks that stepped into Keystone during that time, who were otherwise unable to participate in their bands and musical endeavors around town, found a new home here at Keystone. One of the things I needed to learn through all of this is that I cannot control everything or fix everything on my own. I can work harder and better, but at the end of the day, God is still in control. I've always known this, but this pandemic has taught me to actually live into that better. I for sure still don't have that all figured out, but I'm working on it. When I feel down or overwhelmed, I only need to look around at all the amazing things to be grateful for. I always find that a grateful heart brings me a sort of peace that defies understanding. And instead of looking for things to be worried about or stress over, I find a gradual shift towards all the amazing things going on around me. We're not done with the season, and there are likely some challenges ahead. It is my hope and prayer that we can all find gratitude and peace along the way.
Hi friends, Holly from Keystone Kids here. Happy November to all of you. I hope you're finding some wonderful things to be grateful for this month. And I'm reminded all month long, our K through fifth graders, our theme is gratitude, letting others know you see how they've helped you. And I love that theme, but if I'm honest with you, it's not always easy, one, to remember to be grateful, and two, to show gratitude. And in my particular line of work, part of my job is scheduling our amazing volunteers. And in Keystone Kids, we rely very heavily on a volunteer corps that provides an amazing Sunday for our Keystone Kids every single week. So part of that for me is when you're scheduling them, I'm always worried, do we have enough volunteers? Will everyone show up on Sunday? What if we don't have enough for the classrooms? And being at this job for almost 7 years, that started to become overwhelming. And I felt like it was just burdening me, and it was obstructing my view of what was really happening. So I realized I needed to shift my perspective. I needed to look at it differently. And so I began to look at the volunteers that we had, watching them with our kiddos on Sunday mornings. And what I realized was these amazing volunteers were pouring love into these kids, walking in faith with them. They were truly an example for these kids of what it's like to love like God loves and serve like Jesus served. And that is our motto in Keystone Kids. And when I truly sat back and looked and watched at the relationships building between our volunteers and our kids, it was amazing watching it all unfold. And I began to see how grateful we needed to be for the amazing volunteers we had and the impact that they were making on our Keystone Kids. And when I shifted my perspective, no longer was it a daunting task, but I could look and see the amazing work that these volunteers were doing. And in Keystone Kids, we love our volunteers. And when I realized, when I focused my perspective on being grateful for these amazing volunteers, when you're thankful for what you have, others want to be a part of it. So what I want to say is thank you to all of our Keystone volunteers. We love you and we love watching you pour love into our Keystone kiddos. It is amazing to be a part of it. It's amazing to watch it, and it is amazing to walk alongside you every Sunday. So thank you to all of you making an impact on a child's life and showing them what it's like to love like God loves and serve like Jesus served. Thank you. Happy November, you guys.
My name is Caitlin Jackham, and I'm married to my husband, Ben. We've been married for 6.5 years, but for about 4.5 of those years, a part of our story, a part of our marriage, has been very interesting. If we could describe it, it would be excruciatingly painful and just a roller coaster that doesn't seem to stop. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a mom, and I knew that I was going to be a mom. But unfortunately, for the last 4.5 years of trying, I am still not a mom, and we have been not able to get pregnant. For the first year that we tried on our own, and it was just very frustrating because we tried and we tried and we tried, and we weren't getting pregnant, and my friends all around us were getting pregnant, and it was very easy for them. And so there was a lot of frustration and anger and jealousy, lots of talks with God in the car that escalated in volume each time we talked. And I was just very angry. I was very upset with God for that, because he had the power to make it happen and he wasn't making it happen. So after the first year of trying, my husband and I decided to seek medical help. We went to doctors, we got tests done, and about 1.5 years of doing medication and testing, we found out there was nothing medically wrong with either of us. All the tests came back normal, but the fertility medication was not working, and we were still not pregnant 2.5 years in, which only escalated the frustration, because I was like, man, if there was a problem, we could fix it. And there was so much of me that was, I'm a huge control freak and I like to do things on my own. And I thought, oh, I can do this all on my own. Like, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we need medical help, but like, we can do it. It's going to be fine. But it wasn't fine. We weren't getting pregnant. And so we decided to go as far as we could medically and try IVF, which is what we did. We ended up getting pregnant the first round of IVF, and we were ecstatic. We were so excited, and we went in for our first ultrasound, and unfortunately they couldn't find the baby or the heartbeat. So we waited. We went in the next week. They found the baby and the heartbeat, so we were, again, so very excited. But then we went in for our follow-up ultrasound the next week and found out the baby no longer had a heartbeat and hadn't grown at all. And so we miscarried. And I was like, this roller coaster has got to be over. Like, it's so painful. How do we keep going? And I knew from this miscarriage that if I didn't seek help that was beyond myself, I was going to emotionally, mentally, and spiritually downward spiral and not do well. And so I sought help that was beyond myself. I sought out a Keystone friend and said, I need you to help me. And so we went through the book of Job together, which is a book on pain and suffering and things being unfair. And how do you deal with life? How do you deal with God? How do you face God when all of this is going on, when you're so angry at him? And through weeks of that study, I learned so many things, but one main thing that I learned from that study was that I don't deserve anything. Anything and everything that we are given in this world, in this life, is a gift from God. We as sinful people don't deserve anything, and so what we do get is a sheer gift from God. And I had to humble myself and allow God to take hold of me at that point.
I had to surrender my journey, our journey of what having kids would look like. I had to surrender that to God, and it was hard, but I had to do it. And I tell you, when I did that, my whole perspective changed. My whole demeanor changed. I felt so much peace, and God and I were on so much better terms when I saw him in a different light. And so my husband and I, we said, God, do with us what you will. What you want us to do, please do. Whether that is having children of our own, whether it's adoption, we are open to you. God, show us what you want us to do. So we continued IVF for two more transfers. Both of them failed. We were starting the adoption process and have been doing that for a little bit. And we got approved in June. But there was a part of us too that didn't think that IVF was over. And so we wanted to pursue that again. And so we pursued a clinic in New York this time. And all the while continuing to heal, continuing to seek God and what he had for us and just say, hey, God, like whatever we do, this is your story and we're open to what you have for us. So we went to New York in August. And you guys, I tell you what, this Thanksgiving, not only do we have one gift to be thankful for, we have two, as we are currently pregnant with twins. Twins! And we are absolutely excited. We are thrilled, and we know that our journey's not over yet, and we still have so much to learn. But we have gifts to celebrate, and we all have gifts to celebrate that God has given us. And so my encouragement to all of you this Thanksgiving is to seek out the good things that are going on in life amid the chaos that we're in. Seek the good things and know that they are complete gifts from God.
Wow, isn't that great news? Send Caitlin a congratulation note and please pray for her. We really need to thank them for sharing some of their stories. And you know, it's not easy to do, especially when some of them are hard and they're vulnerable. But when we share our stories, we can learn from them and we can encourage each other. You know, in my life, when I find myself anxious, when peace and joy are elusive, and I have the wherewithal for the moment just to hit pause, I see that for me, it's really an issue of control. I'm either avoiding doing what I could do or what I maybe should do, like address the tension or the conflict or to make that phone call or to start the task or just take that next step. Or I did everything that I could do. I exhausted all the possibilities. I exhausted all the things that were in my control. But I haven't yet placed the rest in God's hands. I keep trying to own what I can't control. That's me. What about you? Did any of these stories tonight speak to you? Did they parallel anything that was going on in your life? I'm sure some of it did. So here's the question. What is the change we need to make in our hearts and in our minds so that God can do in us what only God can do? Start inviting God into your anxiety. Like Bob and Betty Joe and Michelle and Paul and Holly and Caitlin, each of them found themselves, some sooner and some later, bringing it to God. And Paul, in that letter we were reading earlier, said, so make your requests known. So tell him. Loop him in. Don't gloss over it, but be honest. Yell and cry and share your deepest feelings and your fears with God, because he can take it. Be gut honest and raw. Don't hold back. And then two things. First, ask him what you can do that is within your control. And now, maybe if you're like me, you often already know what that is. So you need to ask for courage to take that first step to doing it. And then second, intentionally out loud with your hands, take those out of control pieces like Caitlin did, and hand them to God. Do everything that we can do Do everything that you should do, and then relinquish ownership, hand it over to God, and then remember verse 8 that Paul read. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Set your mind on those kinds of things. And then God will do in you what only God can do, what we can't do for ourselves, what our spouse can't do for us. Give us peace. In my mind, and in my experience, it's like a grandson or granddaughter falling asleep on your lap with your arms wrapped around them. That kind of peace. And then begin taking a posture of obsessive gratitude. Obsess on the excellent. Obsess on the praiseworthy. Obsess on the things that you feel thankful for. Because we have more things to be thankful for than we think. And daily, redirecting our minds on a journey that brings us closer to the peace we desire happens through being grateful. And over time, Paul writes, our hearts, through that gratitude, will become guarded. Our minds will become guarded. So the challenge during this uncertain times in our lives is once every day, catalog all of the good things that happened in this day and thank God for them. Even the things that are small and seem unimportant. Gratitude leads to peace and joy. And joy? Joy is that deep feeling in the soul that comes from knowing that Jesus is still at work in our lives and in our world. We need to keep in the very front of our minds the fact that Jesus is still King. And in this world, he has your life, and it's still in his control. It may be out of our control, so we need to hand it over to him. And if you do that, the promise is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind and your thoughts. It'll stop you from losing your mind.
How can I say it as well when my voice can barely speak? How can I see you as all in the midst of suffering? mountains may tremble, sea billows roll, I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control.
Please pray with me. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather virtually, to hear these stories, stories of suffering and pain, and difficulty, but also stories of grace, encouragement, and faith, and your peace. God, as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday, I pray that we can be your hands and feet, be encouragers, and helpers to those who are in tough spots, and that we can also receive your peace. And thank you so much for your grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday.